Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning, on this blessed Christmas morning, isn't the gospel lesson, nor is it the epistle or the Old Testament, but it is the original Christmas carol. Please be seated. There were great musicians in the world way back when. I think that they're the greatest of all musicians: Bach, Handel, Mozart. They have all written wonderful arias and oratorios, all based on our text this morning. Many Christmas hymns are based on our text. Our text is a great turning point in history, dear friends. The world sat in darkness. The world was full of sin as it is today. And there was also great fear. Then the promised one, the babe was born in Bethlehem. The babe was, is, and will always be God. He revealed the glory of the Father. He brought peace and goodwill of God to all men. After each musical composition, Johann Sebastian Bach would write at the bottom of his music the initials SDG. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. And nearly each Sunday morning, we sing the hymn that introduces Jesus, who revealed God's glory, who brought peace to the world, and also God's goodwill. It's the great song of the angels and the great song of Christians here today. What's the original? What is that original Christmas carol, you may be asking? Well, listen to it. Listen to it in the original language, and I won't sing to spare your ears. I'll speak it. Doxa in hupistis Theo, kai epigeis eirene, in anthropois iodoukias. Doxa in pistis Theo. Now I'm going to give it away. Glory in the highest to God. That's the first stanza. In this first stanza, the angels sing of God's grace being shown, His glory being shown to all the earth. And His grace is shown to you here today. Despite, my dear friends, our vain attempts to seize God's glory from Him, to take His glory and use it for our own purposes, no, His glory is alone for Him. The glory is this: God becoming man. God being born of a virgin and laid in a manger. His glory can now be seen in the person and the work of the babe of Bethlehem. The name that they were to give to Him is Yeshua. God saves. There is God's glory. He is coming to save His people. His glory, His faithfulness, His promise, all foretold by the Old Testament prophets. Do you realize that the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 7, of Isaiah chapter 9, there's also prophecies in 11 and in 35 and 53. There's prophecies in Zechariah. There are prophecies in Micah chapter 5. All written 700 years before the birth of the Messiah. 700 years. We cannot fathom that. We have only been a nation for 230 some years. But 700 years before the fact. And each and every one of these Old Testament prophecies perfectly fulfilled on the first Christmas, perfectly fulfilled by Christ Himself. For these prophecies were totally and only about the one who is to come and to save his people from their sin. Yes, on the first Christmas, his saving work, which followed, all perfectly fulfilled, all perfectly for you. Glory to God in the highest indeed. Now comes the second stanza. The stanza that many people misunderstand. So let's talk about this second stanza, because it is very, very important for you and for me. Kai epi geis eirene in anthropois yodokias. Oh, you know what it is, but you may say it incorrectly, because the translation into English is a little difficult. Here's how it should be translated. On earth, peace. On men, good pleasure. On earth, peace? You got to be kidding me. You may have watched the news this morning, or you may have read your newspaper yesterday, and you may be scratching your head and saying, there is no peace. It's only war. Yes, there is war. And that war dates all the way back to the garden. There at the garden, Adam and Eve listened to Satan, and as they listened to the words of Satan, they were declaring war on God. For any time we listen to Satan, or any time we listen to a false teacher, we are declaring war on God. You see, it was man who declared war on God. And you and I know that continues today. All we have to do is look at society. All we have to do is watch the news or read the newspaper. And all we have to do, dear friends, is come here. And you will hear that you and I and all people are sinful human beings. We've just confessed. We've just confessed that we are poor, miserable sinners, and that we transgress God's law in thought, word, and deed. And we do this daily and much. Same with Adam and Eve. As Eve took the fruit from the tree, standing right next to her was Adam, and Adam abdicated his authority. Adam had the right to stop this, but in his sin, he gave authority to the woman, and they both together brought sin into the world, and we all suffer for it. Yes, we are all rebels. We rebel against God's holy law, commandments 1 through 10, but especially that first commandment. For we always want to take that glory that is due Him and take it for ourselves. We want to be gods with a small g. But then there in tiny Bethlehem Ephrathah, there was a birth. And in that birth, peace came on earth. You see, my friends, we declared the war, but God won the peace. God won the peace by, as you have heard in our gospel lesson this morning, the Word has become flesh. He became a man, and by becoming man, Jesus has come to win the peace. He came to be a servant. He came to take your sin and my sin unto Himself. He came to endure the full wrath of His Father, a wrath that you and I could never endure. But since Jesus is God, He endured that wrath, and He took that wrath to His cross. Peace. Peace to you. The first words that Jesus says to His disciples there in the upper room, peace be with you. Shalom. The word that He used is shalom. It is that inter-spiritual peace that you are no longer at war with God, because God has taken away all your sin. The Lamb of God has washed away your sin. For there on the cross, when He shouted out, "It is finished," the war was finished. Peace was declared. The angels declared this that first Christmas day. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, on men good pleasure. The Word of God declares the same. Today you have heard the gospel. Today you heard the gospel here when you heard Jesus speak through your pastor and he said to you, all your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is pure gospel. That is what he has done for you. He has put away your sin. He has washed away your sin. He has forgiven your sin. And today, you will come to this altar. And once again, Jesus will serve you his body and blood. And there again is the sign of peace that he gives to you, that he has won freely for you. But it goes even deeper than that, my dear friends. Yes, the Lord won peace for you. But there's also this strange word, iodoukios. Iodoukios. People always mistranslate this word. They make it sound like God's will is being poured out only on those people of goodwill. No, that's not what this word means. Yes, it's God's goodwill, but it is his goodwill. It is his pleasure being poured out onto all people, no matter who you are, where you're from, what you look like. You have peace with God, and it is his good pleasure that he has won this peace for you. As a child, we all learned this verse, and you could all probably say it with me. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Iodoukios. That's his good pleasure. That is his good will, that you all be saved. The birth of your Savior confirms your Father's good will, which he has shown to each and every one of you. For as we heard in our gospel this morning, the Word has become flesh, and he came to dwell with us. Do you understand that word, those words? God became man, just like you and me. He had flesh. He had blood. He felt cold and heat. He became angry. He became frustrated. He had to eat and drink. He was a man just like you and me. But he was a perfect man, unlike you and me. And he was God and is God and will always be God. He has done this, not for himself. He has done this for each and every one of you. So this morning, once again, dear friends, Jesus confirms his goodwill. Yes, he confirms his goodwill that he has for all of you in giving you body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins, for the strengthening of your faith, for life and salvation. This is his good pleasure to serve you. For he truly is the good shepherd, the shepherd king which we have talked about, who comes to serve and to lead and to guide and to nourish. Praise God for the babe. Praise God that the Word has become flesh. Praise God that that Word spoke the truth, full of grace and truth. Thank God that the Word went to the cross for you and me. And that's why, as you look at the manger scene, right above it is the cross. For the manger reminds us that he was born to die for you. Therefore, my dear friends, God's good pleasure be with you, for it is for you. His good will is for you. And a blessed Christmas to all of you. S.D.G. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever.